Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I'm asking you now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to James chapter 4, and we're going to do our best, hallelujah, to expound verses 5 through 10. 5 through 10. And I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus Will Lift You Up. Jesus Will Lift You Up. And God gave me that title in these verses of Scripture, saints of God, is that there are times that we go through in seasons and just life in itself where we can be depressed, we can get down upon ourselves, we can make mistakes. Others have maybe said things that doesn't go well, that maybe offend. And there are times when our head feels like it's going to just hang low. But I'm here to let you know, the one that will lift us up is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one that will bless us. He will just fill us with joy. He'll remind us that he has never left us nor forsaken us. You see, people can walk out of our lives. Some people can be cruel. Some others can slander and gossip, but I'm here to let you know that Jesus is the opposite. Jesus is the lifter of our head, and Jesus is the one that will come and strengthen us. Can I get an amen in the house? How many of you need to be strengthened tonight? How many of you need God's word to come in and to flood your heart with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness? That's right. We all need to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because this flesh, it wars with God's Spirit. Paul recognized that there was a war in his members when he got saved. And so, likewise, we have a war in our members the day that we got saved. Oh, that's right. It's a struggle. It's a battle. But God is saying, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God is greater than our circumstances. You have to understand that the fear of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, God has instilled that into his believers. That's right. You and I, as a child of God, God has given us ammunition. God has given us the whole entire armor to hold off the wiles of the devil. Oh, that's right. But one of the things that sometimes can penetrate and have access through a crack in our armor is our own mind. That's right. From within, not from without. And so God, I'm here to let you know, he watches outside of our realm and also our internal aspect, which is our heart, our emotions. It's the seat of who we are. But I'm here to let you know that God comforts that too. God will lift it up. This is what this whole Bible study tonight is. Jesus will lift us up. So are we there? Let's go there now. Let's go to the Word. James 4, 5 through 10. And we'll pray that, that God has his way tonight. Amen. Let's go. And it reads, or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit, capital S, who dwells in us yearns jealously? That's right. Do you know what that means, saints of God? Let me pause that. You know what that means? That means that the Spirit of God, it wars against the flesh. Why? Because when God comes into our life, he wants to take preeminence of our life. And this is why we need to learn how to yield to the Spirit of God. Let's go back to that word. But he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Key verse right there. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Here's the key verse right here, saints of God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and Jesus, he will lift you up. Praise God. So let's break this down. Let's do an expository teaching with verses 5 through 10 in the book of James chapter 4. And let's go to verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns what? Jealously. Wow, wow. You see, my friends, James is following an approach used elsewhere in the New Testament of summarizing Old Testament teaching rather than quoting directly. Praise God. And so the Greek tense of the phrase, the Holy Spirit whom God has placed within us, jealousy longs for us to be faithful. And it offers several alternative renderings, saints of God, so that the contents must help us determine what the writer meant. And so either James was saying that God, who caused his spirit to dwell in the believers, is jealous for their friendship, or he was saying that the spirit that God had put in man is one prone to jealousy and therefore must be kept in check. Can I get an amen? Why? Because the point of the statement is to affirm the believer's friendship with God over against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We may say that we will befriend both God and the world, but in practice, we can only choose one way. And the more we give ourselves to the world, the stronger will be our allegiance to the world. That's right. The more we give ourselves to God, though, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, the stronger we will be, praise God, and our bond and our relationship with him, praise God. That's right. Look at this for right now. Let's look at this word right here in Matthew. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You see, my friends, what God is saying right here in this verse of scripture is, where's your allegiance? Where's your heart? Is it bent toward God or is it bent toward the world? You see, when Christians, when believers are more prone to be used by the world and to be part of the world, that's when the depression, the emotional roller coaster, and all these things that play havoc in our heart and our mind will have precedence over it. Why? Because we will distance our relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if you gravitate to God, if you embrace the cross, if you hold on to the Savior, if you're having communication with him on a daily basis, if you're praising and worshiping him, God will strengthen your faith. God will be the lifter of your head. God will be the one that will put a shield and buckler about you. God is the one that will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. God is the one that will strengthen your innermost being. As saints of God, we live in a world that's fallen. We live in a culture that wants to do the exact opposite of what God has intended for our life as a believer. We must learn to shun the things of darkness. We must learn to not to receive man's philosophy and man's wisdom and his way of thinking, his atheistic point of view. You see, fallen man immediately rejects the things of God. That's why the book of Romans says there is none that seeks after God, no, not one. They have all gone astray. And you and I can attest to that. You and I can be a witness to that. Why? Because at one time in our lives before we came into the saving knowledge, we didn't have a mind for God. We didn't have a heart for God. We had no desire for God. We never woke up praying and praising Him. We didn't have no quality devotional time with Him. No, because we were unregenerated. We had not been born again, receiving the power from above through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God is saying this evening is to embrace Him. Draw closer to Him. Why? Because He's the only one that can lift up our head. Can I get amen? He's the only one that can lift us up. Praise God. Now, let's look at what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church here. Look at this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, but bought what? With a price. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, when Jesus went to the cross, He bled for you and I. You know how much that cost the Father to send His only begotten Son? Beyond our comprehension. I'm telling you, Bill Gates' money cannot buy what God did for us. And so He purchased us back from the devil through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are born in sin, shaping in iniquity. The Bible says that when we come into this world, our father, unfortunately, is the devil. But when God saves us, then God adopts us and He grafts us in by faith. Hallelujah. And then we now have the blessings of Abraham. Praise God. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are the called out ones. We are the royal priesthood. Hallelujah. A peculiar people. We are the ones now can go forth and be the spokesmen for God here on this planet. Can I get an amen? Our job now is the Great Commission to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and receives Christ will be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And then He empowers us to lay hands on the sick, to watch them recover. We lay hands on those who need to be delivered, hallelujah, from drugs and alcohol and all manner of iniquity. God has given us the power, hallelujah, to speak life where there's death. God has strengthened us. God has given us the best that heaven has to offer, and we just scratched a surface of it. God is saying, lean on Him. Move with Him. Embrace Him. Get close with Him, and He will show us great and mighty things to come. Can I get amen? Somebody give God praise and glory in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look at this. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, what agreement can exist between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God and will be my people. Wow. Wow. Remember Ruth made that statement back in the book of Ruth. Yes, right. You see, my friends, to those who make the wise choice facing what may seem like a hopeless battle, James adds a wonderful word of hope. Oh, yes, he does. Because Jesus is the God of all hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, let's go back to the Word of God here in verse 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that, what God said He would do? Now, listen. I've come across a lot of people throughout 31 years of ministry and sharing and testifying and helping those. But I noticed one thing, and that we just read. There are those who sometimes fill themselves with pride despite of the circumstances, not knowing. I need you to catch this. Every one of us has a fallen nature. And so we inherit it from Adam. So the Bible is clear that none of us are perfect. No, not one. And so we tend to get angry, and we tend to disengage, and we tend to ridicule when we get offended, when we get hurt. Why? Because it's in our nature. We live in a fallen world, so those things will happen. But I notice those who have pride in their life, and they will not listen to instruction. They will not listen for correction. They will not listen to be led by the Spirit of God. Those are the ones that struggle. And sometimes they're in church, sometimes they're out of church. And a lot of times they allow the enemy to come in and just cause havoc in their life. But I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, that whenever things go wrong in our life, we don't have to run to the streets. We don't have to run to our neighbor. We don't have to run to the culture. The Bible says, Jesus, run unto Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. God knows exactly what we need. He knows how to fix you and I. He knows how to lift us up. He knows how to strengthen us. He knows how to do what we cannot do for our own selves, my friends. And so take heed to this message tonight and lean on the loving grace of God. Hallelujah. And so, saints, we will need to rely on God's strength to stand against such evil desires. And that strength is available. That's right. Look at what it says in the Word of God right here in Proverbs 3:34. Surely He scorns the scornful, but what? Gives grace to the humble. Did you catch that, friends? Did you catch that? It's all about God's grace. It's all about walking in humility. Look what King David wrote right here in Psalms 138:6. For the Lord is exalted, yet He regards the lowly. But the haughty He knows from afar. Oh, I want you to catch that. Those people who are walking in pride, they're far away from God. Far away. But those who walk with a lowly and humble spirit, He's drawing them close to His bosom. He's watching out for them. He's taking care of them. And let me just say this. If something, entity, spirit, or even person comes and plays havoc and comes and ridicules and comes against one of His children that are close to Him, look out. The Bible says, do not touch God's anointed. God will bring a swift judgment on that person who's causing havoc to the ones He has called out, the ones that are being used by Him, the ones that love Him, the ones that are living for Him, the ones that are not ashamed, like Paul said. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Look what it says also right here in Proverbs 3:34. Look at this. Though He scoffs at the scoffers, yet He gives grace to the afflicted. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Look what else it says in Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Hallelujah. How many of you, my friends, want to stay in good standing with God, that God would honor you and we would honor God? That's right. We'll stay humble. Stay at the foot of the cross. Stay embracing the things of God. Learn to walk with God. Learn to accept everything He has for you. And there are times when He does have to chastise us, but we are to receive it as a loving father gives chastisement to His own natural son. Can I get an amen? God is not out there to destroy us. God has established His church to lift us up, to build us up, to edify us. Can I get an amen? God has a great and wonderful plan, and God's going to use us in the new world to come. That's right. God is going to use those who He trusted throughout, hallelujah, their lifetime, the ones that would know that there was a battle, but yet they kept pressing. They never left. They kept going with their struggles and with their shortcomings, but they kept pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. God is looking for those that will never surrender. God is looking for those who will press. God is looking for those who will continue to love Him despite of the circumstance, despite of their bank account, despite of their health, that they would continue to worship and honor the King. Can I get an amen in the house? Hallelujah. God wants us to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would walk in His grace, that we would walk in His love, that we would continue and complete the call, and that we would cross the finish line, and that He would be on the other side of that finish line saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. enter into the joy of the Lord. Come on, somebody give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. In the house. That's the words I want to hear. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go back to God's word and let's look at this in Matthew 23:12. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. That is a principle, a kingdom principle. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's why we're going to read right here in verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will what? Exalt you. Exalt you. This is what God wants to do. God would rather exalt you than humble you. How many believe that? How many would rather be exalted by God or be humbled by him? Oh, Jesus. I'd rather have him exalt us. Can I get an amen? Because I'd rather have him pat our back than man pat our back. Because the person that pats your back and praises you is the same one that'll walk out on you. Oh, that's right. But God will never leave us nor forsake us. Can I get amen? Thank you, Jesus. That's why all the accolades and all the praises and people throughout the years would come by and oh, great job, Pastor Fee. I say, oh, well, I defer to God. Give God all the glory. Give him all the praise. Why? Because those same people will walk out and some of them will even smite you behind your back. Oh, yes. That's how it works. Why? Because we live in this flesh. We live in this body of flesh that's on a roller coaster of emotions. Oh, yeah. Look what 1 Peter says right here. Look at this. 1 Peter 5:5. Young men, in the same way, submit yourself to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, James, he's the one that offers hope to those saints of God who desire friendship with God. See, God sets himself against the proud. Why? Because pride makes us self-centered and leads us to conclude that we deserve all that we can see, touch, or even imagine. It creates greedy appetites for the far more than we need. Pride can subtly cause us to no longer see our sins or our need for forgiveness. That's right. But humility opens the way for God's grace to flow into our lives. Thus, God shows favor to the humble. Humility is not weakness, my friends. Instead, it is the only way. Say that with me. It is the only way. And the only place that believers gain courage to face all of their temptations and sins with God's strength. Hallelujah. And so, saints, as God gives us more grace, and how many need more grace? I know I do. We realize that this world's seductive attractions are only cheap substitutes for what God has to offer. Can I get an amen? It is our choice. We can humble ourselves and receive God's grace, or we can continue in our pride and self-sufficiency and experience his anger. Hallelujah. I don't want to experience his anger. Can I get amen? Listen, look at two. I got 2 points I want to show up here. Number one, how do we, so prone to pride at the very moments when we think we might be approaching humility, discover true humility? Did you catch that? Did you catch that? We're going to be tested. Our life is a test. And all I want to do is keep passing tests. Can I get amen? Because if we continue to flunk the test, guess what? The teacher will give us the new test all over again in a different predicament, but it's the same connotation. Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's look at this second one right here. How do we become the kind of humble people who find the overflowing grace that God promises? I'm going to leave that for a moment and let it just marinate for a moment. Look at that, saints of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so God knows exactly what we need. Can I get an amen? So now, let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Say that with me. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. What? That's right. Old Slewfoot comes to buffet us. You see, the key is to submit to God. You know, it's easy to get back into in the face of someone that's ridiculing you, that is harassing you, you know, that wants to cause, you know, commotion with you, that wants to cause conflict with you. The best thing to do is humble yourself and walk away. That's right. Just walk away. That's right. Let God deal with that person if they're going to stay prideful and all they want to do is hurt you. That's right. You see, saints of God, we humble ourselves before God by recognizing both His friendship and His authority. We enter a relationship with God not as equals, but as trusting servants. Can I get amen? And although he is not specifically defining the term, James is describing the life of faith. That's right. True faith responds to God actively rather than passively. And although God initiates and facilitates all that occurs between us and Him, our involvement, saints of God, is never entirely excluded. Personal humility before God is part of living faith. Hey, amen. Hallelujah. Listen, old Slewfoot, Satan knows that as long as he can stimulate human pride, he can delay God's plan. Oh, yes, he can, even if only temporarily. But as powerful as Slewfoot is, Satan is, his only power over believers is in his powerful temptations. That's right. You got to remember, that was how he got over on Eve, through a temptation. Listen, I heard it said best. He must have not looked like a rattlesnake. I think he looked like a beautiful being that Eve never saw. And the voice he had, it stunned her. It caused her to be deceived. And let me just say this. There are things in our life that do the same thing, and Satan's right behind it, causes us to be deceived. A lot of times, it's through relationships. A lot of times, it's through circumstances of life. But a lot of times, the enemy will come to deceive us, to try to thwart us away from the plan of God. And so, saints of God, we can resist the devil. I hope you know that. And he will flee from us. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, conversely, a lack of resistance will practically guarantee, my friends, it will what? It will guarantee. It will guarantee that ongoing harassment by Satan will continue. Oh, that's right. Look what it says in the book of Ephesians right here. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, here is the key for us. Finally, my brethren, say this with me at home. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Say that again. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, that's right. For we do not what? Wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and have it done all what? To stand. Look at this. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, say that with me at home, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. My goodness. And then verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is why people get attacked, because they're not in the Word. But we need the Word of God. Hallelujah. We need the helmet of salvation. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need the shield of faith. Hallelujah. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that God has the answer? God did not leave us here on this earth helpless, but He came to lift us up. He came to equip us. He came to strengthen us. He came to do what we cannot do for ourselves. God is saying right now, no matter what your situation looks like, it may, for some of you, it may look bleak with relationships. Some of you, it may look bleak with your children. Some of you may be bleak with your finances. But I'm here to let you know that if God is for you, who could be against you? I'd rather be a poor man with God than a wealthy man like Bill Gates and have no God. Can I get an amen? We are to walk in faith and not by sight. We are to not lean, hallelujah, to our own understanding. But in all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him, and Jesus will direct our path. I'm here to let you know that God wants to strengthen us tonight. God wants to lift us up. God wants to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Some of you have been afflicted in your bodies. Some of you are going through affliction right now. But I'm here to let you know that God is our healer. God is the one that will lift us up. God is the one that will deliver us. God is the one that will strengthen us. God is the one, hallelujah, that will purify us. God is the one that will sanctify us. God is the one that will set us apart for His great glory, hallelujah, and the work that He wants to accomplish through you. But you got to stand, my friends. You got to stand in the power of His might. You cannot go to the left and go to the right, but press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. God wants to do something so miraculous in your life. Hallelujah. So, my friends, I'm here to encourage you tonight to be steadfast, to hold on. Do not throw in the towel. Hallelujah. Jesus is about to return. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. Therefore, say that with me, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. For what? He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the entire world. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Saints of God, once we have identified the devil as our enemy, we need to understand who he is and how to operate in order to effectively resist him. The devil's primary purpose is to separate man from God, destined for destruction. He wants to take as much of creation with him as he possibly can. And among the reasons we so desperately need God's grace, that we are locked in mortal combat with a superior enemy. That's right. We need God's help to resist Satan's separating schemes. And instead, saints of God, draw near close to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so let's move on. We got a couple of verses to break down. Verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Hallelujah. God has laid it out in His Word what we must do. He is the blueprint of life. Hallelujah. And saints, the idea of humility before God now includes the added benefit of God's immediate response. We can draw close to God, and God will draw close to us. The command to wash your hands means to purify our actions and change our external behavior, that we may live and walk in the manner that God wants us, that God is concerned with. And so, saints of God, as we draw near to God, we will become aware of habits and actions in our lives that are not pleasing to Him. Washing our hands pictures the removal of these things from the way we live. We must distance ourselves from the sins that God points out. And so, saints, deliberate, unconfessed sin will keep us away from reading this book. But reading and obeying this book will keep us away from the sin. Can I get an amen in the house? And similarly, saints, the command to purify your hearts calls for purity of thoughts and motives. That's right. Changes on the inside. The people could not remain hypocrites, trying to love both God and the world. Purity of heart then applies single-mindedness. Can I get an amen? Look what it says in God's Word right here in 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves. Say that with me. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, so that in due time He may exalt you. Can I get an amen? Praise God. And look, Be sober-minded. Let me just pause right here. Be sober-minded and alert. People would read that and say, oh, I don't drink alcohol. No. Do not be intoxicated with the things of the world. Humanism. That's right. Religion. That's right. Atheism. All these things that are contrary to God's word. The colleges right now throughout our land are trying to remove God from the minds of these young college kids. They're doing that in high school now, and now they're doing it in elementary. My goodness, we need to see the ploy and the tactics of the devil so that we can know how to combat, hallelujah, that slew foot and resist them. Hallelujah, so that we can what? Learn to fight with the power and the strength of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Let's go back here. Look at this. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him. That's right. How do you resist him? Standing firm in your faith. Praise God. That's right. And in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. My goodness. My goodness. Now, let's move on to verse 9. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why did James write that, my friends? You see, saints, as God draws near to us, we ought to sense our unworthiness. After all, we're being allowed to approach the holy, perfect God. Saints, James has described a long spiritual process in the last 8 verses. He began by describing people in conflict with each other and then within themselves. That's right. Unmasking of such a life and calling believers to humility may not be a welcome message. Surrender may not come easily. Long-held desires may respond with defiance. Repentance may have to include remembering how far we have broken from God's way before we can turn back to Him. And these different terms, saints of God, sorrow and deep grief, sadness and gloom, capture the struggle of a soul drawing near to God. There is a dying which takes place, and this is called to deep and heartfelt repentance, my friends. For without repentance, we will not, hallelujah, receive anything from God. You see, my friends, the people's laughter, scornful laughter that refuse to take sin seriously, and their joy in the world's pleasures need to be completely changed to mourning over their sins. Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's look what God's word says about that in Luke. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. What was God speaking about this? He was talking about the proud that has everything going on, and yet they don't have one iota for God. They care less about you. They care more of themselves. And one day their soul is going to be required of God. All that's going to come to a halt and a crash in one day. My goodness, my goodness. And so, saints of God, until this happens, there is no room for the laughter of real freedom and the joy of the Lord. The Christian life involves joy, but when we realize our sins, we must be mournful so that we can repent. Only after mourning can we move on to joy in the grace that God gives us. Hallelujah. And so our last verse of scripture is this: humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be lifted up by God. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, to bow down before the Lord and to admit our dependence on Him means recognizing that our worth comes from God alone. It is recognizing our desperate need for His help and submitting to His will for our lives. And although we do not deserve God's favor, He reaches out to us in love and gives us worth and dignity despite of our human shortcomings. And when we do so, saints of God, the promise is sure He will lift us up and give us honor. And one of the most touching biblical illustrations of this truth is found in Jesus' parable of the forgiving Father. That's right. The son took his inheritance and set out to the world's best friend. And not until he found himself bankrupt in every way that he repented. He returned home grieving. The son confessed. And the father was, he was there for his son. But the father lifted him up and welcomed him back into the family. The act of returning required submission. The wayward son's words of repentance required humility. The end result was a great joy. Humility before God will be followed by his lifting us up. That's right. And so, my friends, I'm here to let you know, those who are walking in humility, that's right, those who are walking in faith, those who God has called out, those who have repented of their sins, thank you, Jesus, and has been covered now in the blood of the Lamb. And then we are filled with this whole Holy Spirit of promise, with power and great anointing. And then he prepares us, hallelujah, for the world to come. You know, Jesus is coming back again. And look, he's going to come back in those clouds that you see right back here. Oh, that's right. He's coming back again. But there's a lot of people that mock. There's a lot of people that say, yeah, right, he's coming back again. They've been saying that for years. Even church folks say the same thing. Oh, he hasn't come back. So he's probably not coming back for another couple hundred years, and I'm just going to live my life of duplicity. Oh, really? Everything's converging now. Everything that was prophesied, everything that was mentioned in Matthew 24 is all happening at once. My friends, I just read in some European news feeds that Russia and China are mounting up their military with Iran and North Korea, and they're practicing war games. I'm telling you, the last thing we want is have a war on our land. Listen, let me just say this. Are you ready for a war here on our land? Why would God allow war to come in our land? Because our nation is very sinful. And the only way we're ever going to wake up in this country is to be assaulted by our enemies. That's right. That's right. And the last thing we want is to have a sudden attack. Let me ask you this. Where's your bunker? Have we been trained to hide? Or is your house fully armed? Can you defend yourself? No, my friends, we are sitting ducks. So our only protection, our only grace that can separate us from destruction is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we need to be ready. This is why you need to draw close to God. He is our all in all. He is our protector. He will put his shield about us. And when sudden destruction comes, he will be there for you and I. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. He'll take us out of here. That's right. And allow the wrath to come. But soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And we're almost out of here, saints of God. Oh, that's right. Look what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. He said it best, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep, what? In Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Praise God. Praise God. God wants you and I to comfort one another. We are to lift each other up. We are to strengthen one another. Why? We need to remind each other that the day of the Lord approaches, and we are to be ready. Our lamps need to be filled with oil. Can I get an amen? You remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 had oil and 5 didn't. And the ones that didn't have no oil didn't get to get into heaven. And so I want to encourage you, hallelujah, to be strong in the power of His might and wait for the change to take place. The Bible says we're going to be changed and we will be like Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many can't wait for that moment? Oh, that's right. The Word of God says that. Look, in 1 Corinthians 15:50-54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised what? Incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible, this body of flesh must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow, my friends. It's going to happen sooner than we think. This is why these messages have been coming across the pulpit of Amazing Grace is to strengthen us, to get us ready, to prepare us. Hallelujah. You know, there's great and wonderful ministries around the country, and there's only a remnant that's telling you to get ready. There are true remnants out there that want you to get ready for the soon coming King. Are you ready? Is your oils full with the Holy Spirit? Let your vessels be overflowing with God. Hallelujah. Because the last thing you and I would ever want to experience is this very awful thing. Look at this. Look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow. You know, God told me to keep on showing this video on Wednesday nights. Those who plug in, those who are watching, those who may just accidentally maybe log in as they were Google searching Amazing Grace and they found us and then they stuck around and they listened to the message. God wants me to continue to show this video because that will soon be taking place. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready to be raptured out of here? Are you ready to be caught up? The Bible's clear, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready? And if you're not ready, it's very simple. It's very simple. The very first sermon that Peter the Apostle preached is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2. He was in the upper room. Now, all 120, including Jesus' mom, Mary, was there. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they came down. He came down and preached his very first sermon to help a generation receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this right now. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, then Peter said to them, repent! And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Huh? Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's right. God wants to do something mighty, mighty, mighty in your life. And if you're logging in for the very first time, I believe God is speaking to you. Our church family that's logged in wants to pray with you. We want you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and that you too will be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Because Jesus is about to return. And all you have to do is come by faith. That's right. Forget about what's taking place in your life. God is saying, look unto Jesus now, the author and the finisher of your faith. And allow Him to do the miraculous in your life. And all you have to do is step out in faith. I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it in your heart. And what repentance means, what repent means is turn, make an about face. You are walking the course of this world, and now you want to walk toward Jesus. You want to lay aside and be sick and tired of being sick and tired of whatever weighty sin that's holding you back, and give it to God. And He will take it from you, and He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new mind. He'll give you a new walk. He'll give you a new talk. Oh, that's right. He will clothe you in His righteousness, and you will be sealed until the day of redemption. If that's you and that's what you want, bow your heart and your head with me right now and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Somebody just got saved. And if you just gave your heart to Christ, down below is our website. Reach out to us. On our website is our phone number and email. Listen, we'd like to make contact with you, give you a Bible, and hopefully help you on your way to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, get a hold of us. We want to hear from you. And also, I just want to give a great shout out to all the saints of God, those who continue to support our ministry. Man, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a place to have worship. But it's because of your faith, because of your blessings, we continue to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Down below is our website, and donations are deeply appreciate it. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship family, we want to say we love you. We thank you for tuning in this evening. We hope that you were built up in your most holy faith. We're looking forward to Sunday morning at 10:30. I'm looking forward to bringing another word of God that God will have been speaking to my heart for the saints of God that would come out. And I want to encourage those who have never been to our church. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Our Sunday morning service, live and in person, is at 10:30. Wonderful worship and people that can relate to you. We've all been delivered from something, and we can relate. There is no holier than thou people, I'm hoping, that at our church. We want to embrace you. We want to welcome you to the family of God and just help you and encourage you to walk worthy of the call in Christ Jesus. And so, my friends, we love you and we're praying for you, and we hope that we will see you this Sunday morning. And so what I want to do is leave you the benediction as we dismiss for this evening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.